Are you afraid to take risks in your business? Now, there's no wrong answer here, and all of us have a different risk threshold that we're comfortable with and different personal circumstances and considerations that we're factoring in when we're making these decisions. But as I've worked with thousands of brands, I've seen a real distinction between the decision-making process and the risk tolerance in newer companies compared to scaling businesses, some of which we'll talk about today. Today's guest is Lindsay Henry of Inklings Papery. Now in their 11th year of business, Inklings is based in Plymouth, Michigan, and has been the recipient of more than 10 Louie Awards, including Card of the Year in 2021. Inklings has partnered with brands such as Starbucks, Anthropologie, Saks, PaperSource, and Target, as well as 2,000 independent retailers within the United States and internationally. Before launching Inklings, Lindsay worked as a brand designer, helping corporate brands and nonprofits connect and engage with their audiences through authentic brand messaging. She now lives in Canton, Michigan with her husband and two kids. Lindsay is also a Paper Camp alum, and this is her second time on the Proof to Product podcast. Way back in episode 3, Lindsay shared her startup story, why she prioritizes excellent customer experience, and we talked about self-care as entrepreneurs. This time, we're talking about how her business has evolved over the last 5 years, specifically looking at her products, her team, and her physical studio space. Lindsay also shares two things that she wishes she could go back and whisper in her own ear when she was a fledgling business owner. You know, today's episode is brought to you by our Is Wholesale Right For You Masterclass. You can get access to this free on-demand masterclass by going to prooftoproduct.com/resources. During this class, I will walk you through 12 questions to ask yourself to determine if you, your products, and your business are ready to sell wholesale. And I'll provide tips so that you can move forward confidently with next steps. Again, you can get access to our Is Wholesale Right For You Masterclass by going to prooftoproduct.com/resources. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Hey, Lindsay, welcome back to Proof to Product.
Thank you so much, Katie. It's great to be here and good to see you again.
It's good to see you too. So just to recap for our listeners, you were originally featured on episode 3 of the podcast way back in 2017 when this show was just in its infancy. And in that episode, we discussed a variety of topics, including creating excellent client experience, slow but thoughtful growth, and why both of us needed to make more time for self-care. And so today I'd like to talk about how your business has expanded and shifted and really evolved over the last 5 years. I want this to be kind of a catch-up episode, if you will. Are you okay with that?
Absolutely, Katie.
Awesome. Well, let's start with your product line. How has that evolved in the last several years?
Yeah. So back in 2017, we had a lot of bridal and baby shower games and products. We also had some greeting cards. And really over the last 5 years, we've been able to diversify even further. So we've introduced journals to our line. We've introduced vinyl stickers over the last year. We've got color and postcards and other gifts and keepsakes. So really diversifying our offering. And it's helped us get in front of new types of stores and new buyers. So someone may not be looking for greeting cards, but they love our gardening journal because they're a plant shop or a floral boutique. And so it's been able to diversify how many stores our products are relevant to.
I agree. And you've expanded very well into the gift category, but I also want to say you have put such an original spin on many of the standardized products that you sell. So for example, you know, your paint by numbers that has the paint like embedded into the paper and your pop-up cards and, you know, your lunchbox notes and all of these things, you've really, you've taken it up such a notch and presented such a unique product line to the industry. Like, how do you come up with these ideas? And also, Are you just so excited when you see people using them and impressed by them?
Yes, it's always exciting to see our products out in the wild and enjoyed by people because they're the culmination of so many months and even years sometimes of, you know, drawing, sketching ideas and writing them down. I don't know, there are so many creative artists out there who are making products in our industry. And for us, what I want our product line to do is to just have that moment of surprise and delight. And so we always want to be offering a unique twist on it. So instead of a journal that's bound, it's a journal that's on a ring that can, you can kind of, you know, reorder the pages and mix and match things. Instead of a greeting card, it's a scratch off or a pop-up or the paint with water cards that are new for this year, which I had this idea 3 years ago because I loved paint with watercoloring books when I was a little girl. I'm probably dating myself, but they were just so magical for me when you could run the paint, the, you know, wet your paintbrush and put it over the sheet and bring those colors to life. And so for years, I've been looking for a person who could print them in the form of a greeting card and deliver that in a new format. So for us, it's just been about offering something that's different and unique and that has that little surprise element.
I love that you address the fact that these were ideas that you've had for years and also that it took you a very long time to find the manufacturing partners for these things, because I think so many of us want things to happen overnight and quickly. Mm-hmm. And yes, we all do want that, but yet it's not realistic, right? Like how many different manufacturers, for example, for the paint cards, did you have to talk to and run samples with? I'm assuming it's quite a few, right?
Yes, several. We reached out to every single printer that we knew of here in the United States to try and find someone who could print them for us. And all of them came up unable to do so. So that is the one and only product that we had to source overseas, but it took a lot of sampling, a lot of trial and error, and definitely was one of our most challenging products to bring to market. But then other products can happen over the course of a few weeks or even a month if there's something that you can source locally. And that is one of the plus sides to being smaller is you're more nimble. And I always want to stay that way in a way. You can have an idea and you can create it internally, you don't have a lot of red tape to go through to bring a product to market. But yes, if it's something like paint with water or something that has more of a challenging aspect to production, then you do need to build that time into your production timelines from when you have that idea to when you're actually delivering it to your customers.
Absolutely. So let's talk about your business structure. Has that changed at all since we last spoke? Have you leaned further into wholesale or retail or even other revenue streams, maybe?
Yes. So I would say we've definitely seen the most growth in our wholesale business, but that's really because we've given it the most love. So we've really continued to be investing in those wholesale relationships, going to trade shows now that we're able to again. And so I would say our wholesale growth represents probably 80% of our business, and then 20% would be direct to customer.
That's amazing. So speaking of that, as we come out of the pandemic, you guys jump back into trade shows pretty much straight away. What other things are you doing to nurture those existing wholesale relationships that you have?
So with trade shows not being available to us, we were grateful to be on Fair, which is a wholesale marketplace. And that was a way for new customers to find us. But it was more than just being on that platform. We've really tried to be intentional about sending mailers out to them. We quadrupled our catalog printings, which seems backwards because you think you're going to trade shows, you're printing catalogs for those shows. But we decided that instead of going to physical trade shows, we would invest that money into printing catalogs and mailing them out to every single store that we work with, and including one in every new customer order, because we just know these are people who are, they appreciate something tangible and something they can hold and something beautiful that they can put on their desk. So we've really made that a priority in light of not being able to be at in-person trade shows. Also just investing further in our product photography and in videography. So if people can't be there holding our products in person, they can look at a photo and they can see the quality. They can see how it works. They can see a little video that's maybe 10 or 15 seconds long that shows them, oh, this is how I make a scratch off card. And it gives them that little aha moment in the form of a video. So we're trying to really double down on being creative on ways to present our products in a virtual space when we can't be there in person.
I love that you shared this, Lindsay, because these are strategies that you will be able to utilize going forward, even when you do, you know, even as you have, I should say, layered trade shows back in or layered in these personal connections with your stores. I will also say too, you know, you were unique. There were a lot of brands that during the pandemic pulled back on their marketing budget. They did not produce catalogs. They did not invest in photography and other things. And you did the opposite. And it sounds like it had some pretty strong results in ROI for you. Is that correct?
Yes, it really did help. And I mean, we were already in a position where we were fortunately more established in our business. So that's right. Speaking from the privilege that we had already there. But you know, when everything shut down in March and everything was just crickets, we used that time to double down instead of hunker down. So using that time to figure out what systems we could implement to do our business smarter, work smarter, not harder, and ways to grow our product line to be more relevant to what was going on in the world at that time, and to just get in front of our customers in new ways when we couldn't be together in person.
It's got to feel fun and refreshing to get back to face-to-face sales and yes. relationships. Do you agree?
Oh, it's all about that. We are so grateful that we're able to see people face-to-face again. We've really missed it, but I'm also grateful for the time that we had to be able to really focus in on what was important and really hone in on what we were doing. But yes, we are so thrilled to be back in person.
Me too. All right, let's talk about your team. What does your team look like now? How many people and what roles? Because I think when we chatted last, I know you're working out of your home and we'll talk about that yes. transition, but did you have a team back in 2017? I can't recall.
We had a few part-time employees at that time who were coming in and out of my house. It was some crazy days and I had young kids at the time too. So that made it extra special. They got a good close-up look at parenting in real life. And then we also had a team of offsite packaging hands who were, you know, taking products and making them from home and bringing them back. So that was kind of the way we adapted to not having a physical space to work within apart from my house. So since we've gone into our new studio, we can, you know, touch on that a little bit later. We've gone from 2 employees to 7 at the time. And during busier seasons, we have around 10 seasonal staff who come in and help make Valentine's and just roll up their sleeves. Often that's like someone's mother-in-law or someone's sister or someone's, you know, teenage daughter or whatever. It's just people who are available to come in seasonally and help us out during super busy times.
So
it's been
that.
A big change.
That's a huge change, not just from a spatial
yes.
But a team dynamic too, knowing that you have people that you can count on to do very specific things in your business, that has to yes. free your mind a little bit. So walk me through the different roles, if you don't mind. Are most of these 7 fulfillment? Do you have anyone doing sales specifically, or kind of what are their roles?
Yes. So everyone does have a unique role, but we've made sure that everyone is trained to be able to ship or to be able to make products so that we can shift our focus and support each other out depending on what the needs are at a given time. So we have a shipping manager who helps process and ship all of the orders, but she's also our inventory manager. So she sends me an email stating all the things that we're getting low on. And so she keeps tabs on that. I have a wholesale manager. So she works directly with all of our new account inquiries or people who are reaching out or who have just onboarded as a wholesale customer. And she helps pull and ship all of our wholesale orders as well too. So she's kind of crossing over a little bit into the shipping category. And she comes with me to trade shows too. So it's wonderful to have someone else to help when we're doing in-person shows. And then we have a small team of part-time packaging people who are making products. So we have, you know, our list throughout the week on making, you know, what needs to be made to fill that inventory need. And so 3 or 4 part-timers are coming in and doing that. And then we all beef up our hours around Valentine's Day to make a whole lot more things. If you can't tell, Valentine's Day is our busiest season.
Yeah.
So we all wear a lot of hats, but it's been helpful to have areas of specialty for each person to kind of take ownership on, because then when we have, they can lead in that area and be the expert, because honestly, I'm trying to surround myself with people who are better than me at so many things, and they will always do better than me in those areas. And that's good, is lifting them up and giving them areas, space to thrive.
Oh, I love that. That's exactly how I try to lead my team and grow my team. I want people that are smarter than me in specific areas so that they can bring unique talents and they can have autonomy to do what they want. You know, I want to lift them up, and also knowing that their expertise will lift the business up too. So
absolutely.
Oh, I love that for you. You know, something just crossed my mind here. I know that a lot of people struggle with hiring and the logistics of hiring and, you know, how am I going to afford this person or whatever? or how am I going to have the time to train them properly? Or even I hear a lot of, well, I could do it faster than they can, so I should just take this back and do it. How has your mindset adjusted now that you have this team? Like, how did you kind of separate yourself from some of those same worries that so many people have?
Yes. And I never set out saying I want a huge team either. And I was really afraid of that idea. But when you get to a point where you are so busy, you know, sleeving cards and making products and shipping orders that you can't further grow your business, that's when you have to stop and look and say, how am I holding my business back by doing all these things that can be delegated to someone else? And yes, I can probably make something a little bit faster at first, but give them time and identify the right people who are going to be efficient with their time. And you'll find that that will free your time up to do other things, to reach out to stores, to plan for trade shows, to design new products and do things that are really your passion and are something that you're really good at.
Oh, I'm over here nodding my head a ferocious yes. Yeah. I absolutely agree with you. Okay, let's talk about the space. We've kind of alluded to the fact that you worked at home, out of your garage and your home studio for a long time. You moved into a warehouse space, and then that space has also expanded as there was opportunity to take over additional space in your building. But let's kind of rewind to that time where you were debating, should I move this out of my home? Like, at that point, was it a need or was it still kind of a want? I mean, it sounds like you guys were pretty efficient with your space, but at the same time, that takes a toll on a family and a business.
Oh,
if
yes.
You don't have the proper space to do your work. So what was that decision-making process like for you?
Well, it did take a toll. I mean, when we were speaking last in 17, we had maybe 800 square feet in my basement and work was just always there. And it was a challenge. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to work from our home for the time that we did. But it just got to a point where we were debating, can we add one more card to our line? Because we literally don't have the space for another box in our garage or in our space downstairs. And so for us, it was really hindering our ability to grow any further and was just really, really stressful, to be honest, to work within. I was, you know, when work is in front of you and your office is your home, it's really hard to get away from it, I should say.
Yeah.
And now with our studio space, I come in 3 days a week and I can do some computer work from home, but I have that ability to go into work and then leave work and come home and be fully present for my family, or at least that's the goal.
I am so happy to hear you say this. I know that it was a tough decision for you, but I also know that it was a benefit to have the business in your home for a long time. You were able to use those funds for other things to grow the business. So I don't want to diminish that. I know a lot of our community works from home. I work from home, but at the same time, knowing your personal needs, your family's needs, and the business needs, and equating all of that together to make this decision to move. Did you find the place, or did the place kind of find you that you ended up moving to?
Yeah. So we were looking for a few years and I would just drive around town and any place that had a for sale or for lease sign, I would just scope out. And I was totally flexible. For me, anything was better than the arrangement that we had. And I figured that any space outside of our home would free up that space in our home too. But this space in particular, a friend of ours had an office upstairs and said, hey, why don't you come check out this building? It was an old factory. They used to make adding machines. And I think during the war, they made tanks or something like that, because a lot of the old windows are still covered up because of the risk of bomb raids. So it has a lot of history. And so we walked through the space and it just checked all of the boxes for us. And the moment I walked in, I knew that this was the space for us.
Oh, that's great. And how many square feet was it at the beginning? And then how has it expanded?
Yeah. So at the beginning, it was around 2,200 square feet.
Okay.
So it was still a big step up from what we were looking at. We had an adjacent area that we weren't technically using that they said we could just, you know, grow into as our business grew. So our kids literally would come and play hockey in that area. And
I love it.
Bounce, you know, blow up balloons and bounce around. So it became a fun space for them to be. And especially when we were all staying at home and locked down, coming here and letting them stretch their legs out and ride scooters around really was nice. So yeah, about 2,200 square feet. And then we've grown into that space now over the last year. So now it's about 3,300, and we're looking at a space across the hall that will become our new warehouse space over the next year. The building is almost fully leased out, and so we really wanted to jump on that, even though our current space is right for now. I'm just trying to look ahead the next year or so, and at the rate we've grown, wanting to secure that space rather than have to move to an entirely new building because we've outgrown our current space.
Okay, I want to point something out for our listeners because I'm beaming with so much excitement for you, Lindsay. But I want to acknowledge the shift because you were at home. You felt, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to project my own feelings about this, but I also have seen this across many different brands, including myself. You were at home. You felt like you were pushed against a wall a little bit. You were exceeding the space that you had. So you found this place. You did take your time, which is great, to find the right spot. That's important. But instead of waiting until you absolutely needed the space like you did at the very beginning, now you are looking ahead and projecting what will we need in the future and how can we step into what we want to be later down the road. And that is such a huge differential that I just want to point out to you. It shows your growth as a business owner. It also shows the growth of your business because now you have the cash flow and the ability to do that. I recognize not all of our listeners will be able to do that, but I just, I think it's important to acknowledge that because so often in the early stages of our business, we're making decisions because we have to. We're hiring that first person because we just can't do all this ourselves anymore. We're moving into a space that's okay just because we can't have it in our spare bedroom anymore, you know, and then we get to a point now in your business where you can look ahead and you can make decisions about where you want the business in the future to go. So I didn't mean to get on a soapbox there, but
no, I love that. I'm totally tracking with you. And I think that the more of those decisions or steps of faith you make, the easier they become because you see, you can look back and go, okay, that was really scary for me, but I'm so glad that I made that decision. And not every decision is going to work out that way, but when you, the more steps you take in that direction, the more faith you have in it and the more confidence you have in your gut and in your decision-making and in looking at your numbers and looking at your systems. I mean, for us, having more space has been huge for our efficiency in our business. Like we are moving boxes around and like pivoting and trying to do so much in a small space, having more comfortable space to work and a more efficient flow to how we make products has brought our product costs down and has allowed us to order inventory in greater quantities, which makes our margins better. Right. You know, having a professional space allows us to bring in seasonal or part-time employees and gives us the flexibility. So if we get a huge order, I don't have to, you know, call someone up or rent out a warehouse space to be able to fulfill that. Even I'm kind of rambling here, but even our photography, having a setup for tabletop photography or videography that I don't have to pull out and arrange every single time. I can just flip the light on. I can pull my camera out or my phone out and I can shoot something. And in 15 minutes, I've got those images photoshopped and they're live on our website. So that gives me so much freedom and flexibility. Not everyone wants to be their own photographer, but for us, it just helps us be able to have the space to be able to be flexible and nimble and be able to create content without having to set something up for hours. And so our space has really afforded us the ability to do that.
I'm so glad you shared all of those benefits because there are opportunity costs to every decision that we make as a business owner. You know, we may choose to stay in our home studio to save that money, and then we can apply that money to more product or whatever. We're making those conscious decisions. But I think it is overlooked sometimes of, okay, if I invest in this space, that's going to improve our efficiency. We'll be able to hire more people to get more orders out. That will free up our time to do more outreach to our wholesale accounts and get reorders. Yes. Like we don't always think with that same mindset. So I appreciate you sharing, you know, kind of what you were doing before and how that's evolved. And you know, it boils down to a lot of leadership, which, you know, you're an amazing leader for your company. And just confidence. I want to echo what you said about confidence. As we start to make those smaller decisions, the bigger decisions get easier, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay. So you have this beautiful space. You're expanding. There's been so much growth in your business, and not just, I'm not just talking revenue or product line. Like there's been so much growth in you as a leader. And I say that with the highest compliment, because
thank you.
I'm just always impressed with what you put out in the world and how you do it. And so I want to acknowledge that. Kudos to you.
Thanks. Well, it's because I'm part of an amazing community of people, and you are a fantastic leader in that community. So thank you for believing in me years ago and for being part of that community.
Oh, absolutely.
And creating that community, really.
No worries. Well, I wasn't fishing there, but thank you. That's very kind. Okay. Let's do a little, like, if you could go back in time, like if you could go back in time to your first year in business and tell yourself one thing that you've learned up until this point, what would you go and kind of whisper in your own ear?
So two things. One would be kind of relating to taking those risks, and we touched upon it a little bit, but just trust your gut. Don't be afraid to take calculated risks to grow your business. I would tell myself and others who were, you know, who are in a similar position, like, you're capable of more than you think. You don't have to figure it all out, but sometimes just taking a leap and believing, that sounds like a greeting card, but I think there's some truth in that. So I would tell myself to get out of the house, get to that studio. It will help your growth more than any one thing you could do right now, to be honest. And then the second thing would be about growing a team. And part of that, I'd like to rewind even further to talking to myself in 2005. So when I was working as a graphic designer, and this is more of a personal anecdote, but my whole life I looked up to my dad, who was a designer, and he had a small design firm with employees. And he taught me so much as a young designer. But he passed away suddenly when I was in my mid-20s. And at the time, I didn't feel equipped to leading a team or stepping into his shoes, even though I was also a designer. So we decided to dissolve the business and everyone went their separate ways. So 5 years later, as I was doing my own design business and things were growing, I reached the point where my growth was really limited based on my own bandwidth and the time that I had. We had two young kids, and I was terrified at the idea of further growth because it meant managing a team. And I thought, I never want to be a manager or a leader of people. Like, I just want to be creative and put great content out in the world and, you know, do my own thing. But that around that time, Inklings was born and it began to take off. And I realized that, again, I was at the end of what I could do myself. And so as our little team has grown, I've realized that growing has been essential. And growing our team has been essential, and that I am capable of leading a team. And it doesn't have to look like being quote unquote bossy, but more just about leading through caring for people well and letting them know they're appreciated. And so I guess I would go back to myself then and say, you're capable of leading people and loving people well and continuing that legacy in maybe a different way. But yeah, that's what I would tell myself.
Oh, I love that, Lindsay. Thank you for sharing that story with us. I do think that leading people, managing people is a scary thing. And
yeah,
it also takes many people, it feels like they worry that it will take them away from the things they truly set out to do, the creative work or, you know, whatever it is that they're trying to do. And it's also a big responsibility, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're responsible for someone else's livelihood and them living the life they want to live. And we want people that truly understand our mission and our values and what we're trying to accomplish and the impact that we're trying to make on the world.
Yes.
We want it to be more than a job. That's how I feel.
Yes, totally. Absolutely.
But at the same time, it's a big responsibility. And I do want to empower and lift others up. And I think one of the things I've learned, and I'd be curious if you feel the same through your journey of building your team, I want to empower and I want to enrich their lives. Yes, we have work that needs to be done. But if everyone is happy and they understand why behind how they play a part in the success or the impact of the business, it gives them purpose. And so I do try to infuse that and what you said, loving people too on your team and in a way. I think I also worked in corporate for a very long time, and that's given me an example of what I do not necessarily want for my team. And of course we can't dismiss the fact that there are laws and rules and things like that we have to abide by as employers, but I don't know. Have you kind of felt those same things along the way?
Yes, I agree. And you asked the question, like, will anyone care about what we're doing as much as I do? And how can you share that passion with other people and get them to be as excited about your mission as you are? And I would say that it is possible. And by bringing people on and not having them just make product, but sharing some of your ideas with them, inviting them into the creative process. We often have team huddles where I'll be like, "Hey guys, I'm thinking about this, or can you guys vote on these cards, or what have you always wanted to do for X, Y, and Z?" And inviting them into the creative process gives them ownership and helps them feel that they're contributing to the success of what we're doing too. And then when they finally are making that card or assembling that journal that they had a hand in creating with me, it gives them a sense that this is, they're not just coming and making products, but they're part of the story and they're part of what we're creating.
Oh, I love that. Yes, to all of it. Lindsay, what's next for Inglings Papery? Like, what do you have coming up that you want to share with us?
Yeah, so we are excited. We'll be in San Francisco next month for Noted and SF Now. So really looking forward to that. And then we'll also be in the summer in New York City for Shop Objet. I guess that's how you pronounce it, object, which is an exciting new, up and coming show that we're thrilled to be a part of. So looking forward to seeing a lot of our buyers there and just being able to meet face to face with our community again. Also, we're just continuing to build out our video media library. So kind of focusing on doing some fun things there. We're on TikTok, which is super awkward because I'm over 40 and I feel like that's a space that I'm not quite comfortable with, but I'm embracing it and just trying to have fun with it and put Inklings and our brand and some behind the scene sneak peeks out into the world in a different way
Oh,
there.
I love it. And also, you're not too old for TikTok. If you are, then I am, but we are not too old for TikTok. So there we are.
Yeah.
All right, Lindsay. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Oh, let everybody know where they can find you online. We will include this in the show notes,
Yes.
but I just always like to give you an opportunity to tell people where to see.
Absolutely. Thank you, Katie. You can find us at inklingspapery.com or on social. We are at symbol inklingspapery.
Awesome. We will again include that in the show notes for everybody. Lindsay, it was such a pleasure to chat with you and catch up and hear
Thank
how
you.
things have evolved. You are doing amazing work, you and your team. So thank you for all
You too,
the
Katie.
joy you bring to the world. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Likewise. Take care. Bye.
Bye. It was a lot of fun talking shop today with Lindsay. I enjoy bringing our students and our friends back to the show for these types of, where are they now updates. And Lindsay has grown so much as a leader in her business, and her product line continues to grow more impressive year over year. I am really excited to see where she takes this. And I'm also excited to see her and many others from our community at SF Now and Noted soon. Speaking of, if you are interested in learning more about exhibiting at wholesale trade shows, I have a free workshop for you. It's called the Booth Blueprint, and it's where you'll learn three secrets to maximizing your trade show investment and how to keep wholesale orders coming in long after your show ends. You can gain access to this free training at prooftoproduct.com/resources. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/resources. Thank you so much for joining me today and sticking around until the end. All of the links from today's episode can be found in our show notes. I'll be back next week with a new episode.